we'll begin now, Jeff. So this evening, we're going to look in Psalm 119, and we're going to be looking at verses 97 through 104. Psalm 119, verse 97 through 104. And once everybody gets there, I'll read through the passage and then pray, and we'll jump on in. So Psalm 119, verse 97 says, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Let's open up with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to you now. We just thank you for this opportunity that we can freely assemble as a church and assembly here in Cromwell, and we thank you for the opportunity that we can look into your word. Father, just ask that you will fill me with your spirit, and I pray that this time will just be a blessing to all the members here. And Lord, I pray that you'll be honored and glorified through the teaching of your word. And I pray that we won't just be hearers, we'll be doers of the things that we learn. And we pray in Christ's name, amen. So we're looking in Psalm 119 today, and we're going to be looking at the personal walk in the Lord. So here at BBC, we have numerous opportunities to serve the Lord in the assembly. And that is biblically warranted and commanded for us to do. But it can be the habit to get in that we do not want to get into, where we come, we do whatever area of service or task that we have. We bring this, we set up this, we do that, which those things are all serving the Lord and honoring the Lord. But we want to make sure that we're maintaining and keeping up our personal walk during the week. And biblically, the personal walk in the Lord is what comes through here in the assembly. So how you are consistently, 7 days a week, it's going to be reflected when we're here just for a couple hours, 2 days a week. So tonight I want to emphasize and ask the question, well, how is your personal walk? I had to ask that question for me. How is my personal walk as I read these 8 verses from Psalm 119? A few background things to Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the longest book of the Bible. It's 176 verses long. The author is presumably David. It does not state it like in some psalms, right at the beginning, a psalm of David. However, he did write the majority of psalms that we know. As well, David, he used an acrostic form in Psalm 119 that he used in other psalms that we know he did write. So we see some similarities there. As well, he utilized a lot of the same synonyms that he used for the Word of God in all the other psalms. And then, finally, the backdrop of David's life that's documented in Samuel and Chronicles and Kings does align with a lot of the context of what David's actually saying in his in these writings here in Psalm 119. So we presume through the context of the Word of God that David was most likely the author of this book. Now, the single focus of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. And David writing 176 verses about the Word of God. And he starts it off there in Psalm 119:1, and that's the context of this entire chapter. And Psalm 119, verse 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." And that sets off this whole entire chapter about what this chapter is about. Now, we'll look more at verse 1 in a little bit. Now, David, he uses 10 different synonyms in this chapter for the Word of God. He calls the Word of God the law, the word, judgments, testimonies, commandments, statutes, precepts, sayings, way, and truth. And so when he brings those words and you see those words as you're looking at through Psalm 119 as referring to the Word of God. Now, why is the Word of God so important? These are very redundant questions, but sometimes it's good to really reflect and go back to these roots. Well, the Word of God is the self-revelation of God, the God who created everything. And this is His Word. And so David, he writes this, the longest chapter of any of his writings, and he writes it all about the Word of God. So he's emphasizing the importance of the Word of God. And he's showing how the Word of God has been a blessing to him. So we see that. Now, David realized that those who walked in the law of the Lord, lived a spiritually blessed life. And so that's what you see. As you read Psalm 119 and the other Psalms, you get an idea of David, through his writings, you see somebody who had a tremendous walk with the Lord. It was full disclosure. It was very passionate. He held nothing back as far as his praise for the Lord, as far as what the Lord did for him, as far as his vulnerabilities. How often was David so vulnerable and he's just laying it all out and saying, Lord, I need you. And you see these themes through all of the Psalms, and in particular through Psalm 119. And so, going back to verse 1 of Psalm 119, you see it starts off with blessed. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And in short, this blessing, this is referring to spiritual blessings and not physical or monetary blessings. And I remember when I was first studying Psalm 119 as a young Christian, you know, I was thinking of blessings like things, monetary things, or, you know, be rich or whatnot. And I remember it was my father who was teaching me, and he redirected me and said, these are spiritual blessings. Now, however many years later, I look back and I say, now understanding the context is spiritual blessings. Now, physical blessings and all that can be secondary, but primarily David's referring to the spiritual blessings for those who walk in the law of the Lord. And looking back, why I take the spiritual blessings over the physical blessings any day. And you see why through the entire book of Psalm 119. So let's talk a little bit about spiritual blessings. What does that include? Well, wisdom, understanding, a big one, victory over sin, answers to prayer, physical and spiritual protection, and spiritual growth. And those are just to name a few of the spiritual blessings that one can get from walking in the law of the Lord. Now, when you sum those all up, you know, that's greater than any monetary or physical blessing that you could ever want or desire. And so you just see the, with that understanding, as you read through Psalm 119, and you see these exclamation points, and in our text tonight, oh, how I love thy law, kind of, if you don't understand that context, you might be looking a little sideways. You know, I don't fully understand that. But from David's perspective, well, he's seen the Lord work in his life in big ways. He's seen the Lord help him get victory over sin, help him defeat actual enemies, see answers to prayer repeatedly throughout his life. And so he's enjoyed and received these spiritual blessings because he was one who walked in the law of the Lord and kept the Word of God. And so that's the encouragement tonight is, these might be very familiar verses to each of us, but let's remember why it's important that we walk in the Word of the Lord, meditate on the Word of God, so we can receive these spiritual blessings that the Lord gives to those who obey His Word. Now, as I'm talking about the personal walk, I'll just remind everybody, 1 Timothy 3:15, that the local church is the pillar and ground of truth. And that's where we get our primary teaching from our pastor who teaches us and preaches the word of God to us. So that's the pillar and ground of truth. Our personal walk, that's in tandem with that. And we take the things that we do learn in the assembly and we can study those on a personal basis. So I don't want it to sound or to seem that we need to diverge from the assembly and have our own However, the Lord will bless our own study. So just putting that out there. So as we look at Psalm 119, verse 97 through 104, now I said a little bit ago, David in this chapter, he used it in acrostic, and the acrostic is with the Hebrew alphabet. So it's 22 characters, and the acrostic uses the alphabet letter and the beginning words of each what's called a strophe, and it's just the eight verse section. So this section is the mem strophe, and that's how you pronounce it. I only had half a semester of Hebrew, so pardon. And so in this, a little overview of these eight verses, he tells us about his love for the Word. He tells us some of the spiritual blessings, wisdom and understanding. He tells us about how he obeyed the Word. And ultimately, all these things added up in him hating sin. And so we see he's going to show us some of the spiritual blessings in these eight verses that he received from meditating and being in the Word of God. So let's jump on in. Verse 97 of Psalm 119, it says, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." Now again, David, he is speaking retrospectively. He can say that he loves the Word of God because he already understands the benefits. It's hard to say that you love something until you've actually experienced it. And so he's speaking retrospectively. He's saying, "Oh, how I love thy law." Thy law, he's referring to the Lord's law, the Word of God there. So he opens up with that. And he says, so David's love here for the Word of God, it stemmed from the spiritual blessings that he received from reading it and meditating on it daily. And so next he opens up with probably the most foundational statement for this. It is my meditation all the day. These are simple truths. David loved the Word of God, and it was his meditation all the day. And so to backtrack on something I've already said, you can't love something until you've experienced it. And in this case, David loves the Word of God for the spiritual blessings that he received, which he's going to announce later. But when I was reading this, I had to ask myself, can I say that I love the Word of God or love the Lord's law? And I ask the same thing to you. Can you say, "Oh, how I love thy law, Lord"? Now, some personal examples of how I love the Word of God and certain aspects of the spiritual blessings I receive. So I listed a few here. So for me, Ephesians 5:18. Pastor's going through on Wednesday nights, the Spirit-filled life. That was an area for me when I really learned that aspect of truth and started applying that in my life and trying to live the Spirit-filled life, I saw tremendous spiritual blessings. Now, in that context, Ephesians 5 is talking about being husband, father in chapter 6, and then just a Spirit-filled believer. And so, as I applied those truths in my lives and saw spiritual blessings from being a Spirit-filled believer as best as I could and as often as I could be Spirit-filled, and a husband and a father, I saw those spiritual blessings develop in my life, and I look at that passage now and say, "Oh Lord, how I love your law, how I love your word." Another would be Ephesians 6:13, when Pastor and then Brother Jeff, they nailed Ephesians 6 and the spiritual armor on, and I learned how to properly equip myself with spiritual armor and go into the spiritual warfare on a daily basis. That was so beneficial in my spiritual life. And I look at that passage and say, "Lord, how I love your law," with excitement. You know, David, he's got an exclamation point here. He wasn't just saying, "Oh, how love I thy law." He was passionate about his love for the Lord's word because he saw actual spiritual blessings. He saw results in his life from meditating and obeying the word. Another one for me, and these are just a few of multitudes, and I'd encourage each of you to look at which passages have really been crucial in your life, that you've seen results as you've obeyed them and applied them in your Word. James 1, 1 through 5, how to deal with trials and difficulties. And learning that and then going through trials and actually putting those verses to work, I look back and say, Lord, I love your Word. Thank you for that truth. That was a blessing. And I receive the spiritual blessings from those truths. So we see David, he's opening this passage up by saying he loves the Lord's Word. And he's encouraging them through the success, the spiritual success and blessings that he has, which he will go through next. Now, before we go to the next verse, another crucial aspect here. He says, it is my meditation all the day. Basically, he meditated on the Word all day. Now, we know the kings, and I'll just turn there, Deuteronomy 17, 18, and 19. All the kings, the Lord wanted them to copy the law. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, it says, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. And so part of David's kingly duty was to copy the law and to read it and to know it, so he would continuously have that fear of God and be obedient to its precepts. And so David, we have that context there of how he meditated and was in the Word of God. And now he's telling us that he's meditating on it. He's thinking about it and how he can apply it in his life. And so, simple application. How can we meditate on the Word of God daily? Well, we can do what David did. He copied the law, and he would write it down, and that would force him to have to read it, to study it, to know it. Something that somebody told me several years back that I've been using, 3x5 cards, you know, whatever it is, if it's pastor's preaching, going over a verse where you have the teaching in your head on that verse, you write it down, you keep it on you, and throughout the day you can pull it out, you know, unless you have a tremendous memory, which I don't, so that's why I use a 3x5 card, or the even smaller little cards on a ring, and you can put multiple verses, keep it in your pocket, and you can meditate and have those verses readily available as you're at work or wherever. And those are just some practical applications of how we can meditate on the Word of God daily. That way it's not, you know, you leave on Sunday and it's the lights out till Wednesday night, and then leave Wednesday night and lights out till Sunday again. Now, the other aspect of that is the structure in our lives. We all work different schedules, but are we making time each day to study the Word of God, whether it's one verse that we're going over or a whole passage? But are we making time to study the Word of God on a daily basis and as frequent as we can? And if you don't have something that you're doing your own Bible study, well, you can meditate on the things that pastors taught on. And you can take those passages or verses and go over those throughout the week. But these are ways that we can meditate on the Word of God, and this is exactly what David was doing. And this is what he's talking about. And he said he did it all the day. Now, let's jump down to, we'll look at verses 98 through 100. We'll see some of the spiritual blessings now of meditating in the Word of God. He says, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. So the spiritual blessings here, in their basic form, was wisdom and understanding. Now, greater wisdom and understanding than three particular groups: his enemies, his teachers, and the ancients. Now, so David, he was a young king, and right from the beginning of his ministry, he had big enemies. His spiritual career really took off when he had faith, and we can look there. We'll turn there to 1 Samuel 17. And verse 45. I'll read that. 1 Samuel 17:45. It says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee." And so David's career started off by where he had this tremendous faith and went up against Goliath, and he slew Goliath, and the Israelites defeated the Philistines. But from that point forward, the Philistines, their A-list target was David. And so David knew enemies, and he realized that he had to constantly be on guard against actual physical enemies that were out to get him. And so one of the reasons, one of the probably things motivating him of many would be that he needed to be in the Word of God to have this wisdom, which did give him superior wisdom over his enemies. Now he says, "For they are ever with me." This is referring to the commandments, not the enemies. "For thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." So the commandments of the Lord were with David at all times. He meditated on them all day, and they were ever with him. Now verse 99 tells us, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." Now David, he lived, once he slew Goliath, Saul's son, the king, Jonathan, befriended David, and at that point, Saul didn't let David go back to his own father. Saul took him in and started training him, and because Jonathan loved David at that point, and they were great friends. And so David had the benefit of royal tutelage. He had phenomenal teachers, most likely, teaching him. And so he says that, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." So again, we see the same pattern. Meditation all the day. "Thy commandments are ever with me. Thy testimonies are my meditation." So he's driving this point home. Do we get it yet? That the meditation on the Word of God was constant in David's life, and these were the spiritual blessings that he received. And then again, he says, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts." Now, David, as a young king, he had advisors, and the ancients is referring to bearded older men. And one of his advisors was Ahithophel. And we see that Ahithophel actually ended up turning on David and joined David's son Absalom in that coup that Absalom started. And so David's own advisor turned on him, this advisor that he looked up to. Now, whether Ahithophel or not was older than him, we don't know, but certainly was an elder that he, or an advisor to him. And so we see that David, he needed, these things were particular to him. He needed wisdom, he needed understanding over his enemies, over his teachers, and his and the ancients, because he got to a point where it was just him, and all of a sudden, all these, he already had enemies, but his teachers and his advisors at one point ultimately ended up turning on him. And so he did need that wisdom and understanding. And he says that he got that. He had greater wisdom and greater more understanding because his testimony, the Lord's testimonies, were his meditation. Now, in verse 100, he doesn't say meditation, but he says, "Because I keep thy precepts." So now, David, he's transitioning. These first four verses, he's talking about meditating on the Word of God. And this is a truth that's throughout the New Testament and in James, which we'll look. But we need to meditate on the Word of God, but we also need to do the Word of God, keep the Word of God. And so you see there in verse 100, he says, because I keep thy precepts. He understood more than the ancients. Now that transitions very nicely into verse 101. The verse 101 says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. So as David meditated on the word, he started to refrain from evil. And so you see what's happening here. David's in the word more. He's meditating on the word. He's starting to see spiritual blessings. And the first ones are wisdom and understanding. And so as he's gaining wisdom and understanding from being in the Word of God, oh, well, all of a sudden, I'm not doing these things that are evil anymore. And all of a sudden, he's having that foresight to say, that's evil, I know I shouldn't do that. And so that's the progress and the progression of how, as we're in the Word of God, we can be doers of the Word of God and stay away from evil. And so he's saying, I refrain my feet from every evil way. So the Word of God shows us what evil is so we know how to stay away from it and what exactly to stay away from. And so, and he knew that he needed to stay away from evil in order to keep the Word of God, because those two are complete opposites. And so he's just stating in very simple words this progression. And he's going to show this. In verse 97, you're going to see his great love for the Word of God, but in verse 104, we're going to see his great hatred for evil. And so, where else do we see this truth taught? We'll turn over to James 1:22 through 25, familiar verse for many of us. James 1:22 through 25. And it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so this mirrors this truth in verse 101, that he knew what was evil and he stayed away from it. James here is saying being a hearer of the word is like looking in the mirror. You see something's wrong, you know, your hair's sticking up, but you don't do anything about it. I see that there's something wrong. You see it clearly, but you keep walking and you don't change anything about it. But he does tell us on the flip side, but whoso looketh into the perfect law and continueth therein, a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So you see the same teaching here in James, as you see in Psalms, that there is blessing from being a doer of the word. So we see that there in James. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. How can we be doers of the word? Sometimes that's the difficult thing to do. You know there's things that you need to obey in the Word of God. You know there's truths that you need to follow through with. And this is a combination of being spirit-filled and being in the Word of God. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Word of God has a quickening, or it effectually worketh. It's a quickening or an energy that works in us to do the Word of God. And so the Spirit energizes the Word of God in us so that we can carry out that and be doers of the Word in that aspect. So we see there in verse 101, I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Now, moving on to verse 102, he says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Departed or swerved from the Lord's judgments. So this takes away the gray area in some of the truths. David realized that he needed to be right on target with the Lord's judgments or the Word of God. And who was his teacher? He says, for thou hast taught me. You can see there in Psalm 119, verse 33, of Psalm 119, he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So David, as he's meditating on the Word of God and studying the Word, thank you, one of his prayers that he puts here in Psalm 119 and verse 33 is he's asking the Lord to teach him the way of thy statutes. And he says, Lord, if you teach me, I will keep it unto the end. And here in verse 102, he says, for thou hast taught me. So his prayer was answered. And so part of David's personal walk, which we can implement, is in our prayer life, asking the Lord to teach us his word. And certainly we saw how in Thessalonians, how the Spirit energizes the Word as we read it, but as well we can ask the Lord to teach us His Word. And so the Lord taught him the Word of God, and he says, I have not departed or swerved away from thy judgments or thy Word. And so we see that it's this idea that once you've learned the truth and you apply it and you actually do it in your life, you can really solidify that truth to where you're going to continue to keep that. And now, obviously, there's the spiritual maintenance and upkeep as far as being spirit-filled to continue in those truths. But we see that David, he states that he didn't depart or leave those truths. And again, would emphasize that the Lord was his teacher. We have that same opportunity as well. As we're studying the Word, as we're trying to meditate, and in our personal study, we can ask the Lord, teach us your word. And the Holy Spirit can help direct us in learning and energizing these words in our life. Now, verse 103. David, he stated at the beginning, he loves the Lord's word. He meditates on it all the day. And then we see the spiritual blessings there in the middle. And now here in verse 103, he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. David's love for the Word of God, it translates and he compares it to the sweet taste of honey. They were savory, they were enjoyable to him. And so we see David, he's showing these aren't just words that he's writing, these are his actual feelings for the Word of God. And so I remember as I'm studying this, and I was asking myself, you know, have I ever felt this way, or do I feel this way, passionate about these words that I'm reading, that these things are so enjoyable to me, I love this, I take this over anything else. Do we have that in our life? And if not, we might want to consider, are we in the Word of God as much as we need to be? And so, David, when you can relate with David, where you can look at the Word of God and say, I love these words because these words changed my life. Especially, we can all say that, hopefully, in regards to salvation. But as far as believers, our goal now is to continue in our spiritual growth. And who's out there? Satan. And he's not interested in Christians who aren't necessarily church members. He's interested in obedient church members who are in a New Testament biblical church. And he wants to destroy each one of us. He wants to destroy me and each one of you who desire to be obedient. And Satan is ruthless. And he hits below the belt. And he's the most difficult opponent. However, we have all the tools we need here in the Word of God to ward off Satan and his darts. We have the spiritual armor. We have the spirit-filled life. We have the Word of God and all this wisdom and understanding that we can meditate on. But we need to understand, and when we are going through the spiritual warfare and armor, we need to understand that we're actually in a fight. You need to understand where you're at. You know, Lord, you're not just here by happenstance. Lord's placed you here, and some of the difficulties and oppositions that you face, well, Satan, he's trying to get at you. And so for New Testament church believers, what's Satan's goal? Well, ultimately to destroy us. But if he can't destroy us, well, he wants us to get us out of church. He wants us to possibly go to a church of lesser standards or lesser faith. He wants us to ultimately to go towards worldliness, like Demas in the New Testament. He wants us to seek after monetary things, physical blessings. He wants us to seek those things. If he can't destroy us, he's going to come in some way to get us out of an assembly where we can, that's our biblical place of serving the Lord in this dispensation. And so he wants us to get us out of the assembly. So this is why we need to seek and desire spiritual blessings. And how do we get these spiritual blessings? Through meditating on the Word of God. And these spiritual blessings, as we see, it's spiritual success. It's victory over sin. I look at my own life, and I'm sure many can think on their in their own personal lives, in different areas where you've seen victory. And when you look back on those things, man, I struggled for this for so long. And then I really learned this truth, and it just clicked. And I was working on that, and I was going to this portion of Scripture constantly when I was fighting that or facing that. And, man, I saw spiritual victory. And each of us, I know I can say for myself, that's a time of rejoicing. And that's I still look at that, and I try to maintain that victory and that spiritual blessing there. And I can relate with David here, and a lot of it's through meditating on the Word and then keeping the Word and really obeying and doing the Word of God. And then you'll start to understand why David says verses like verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And so understanding this context that David's coming from, you can understand his desire for the Word of God. Now, finally, in verse 104, he says, "That or through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." So David, he contrasts his love for the Word of God there in the beginning in verse 97, and he contrasts it with his hatred for every false way. And you see the progression that as you're in the Word of God and as you're meditating and you're thinking on the Word more and more than you're not thinking on it, and you're reading it, studying it, and doing it, well, you're going to start to see that I don't have a desire to do these things anymore, these worldly things or these evil things, these false things. And you're going to see that you'll develop a hatred. And so you see that extreme where we used to be buddy-buddy, even as Christians, chumming with worldly things and worldliness. As we dive into the Word of God, we're going to start to get further and further until we say, I hate those things. And David, we see this total contrast from he loves the Word of God and he hates every false way. And certainly that's needs to be the goal and the motivation for each of us as believers. Just in review and points of application, are we studying and meditating on the Word of God regularly? Maybe we were and we kind of gotten in a slump where, you know, it's been, you know, pushed it off for a few days or a few weeks or months. Well, we need to get back into the Word of God. We need the Word of God to be spiritually successful and to ward off Satan and the demons who want to destroy us. They want to destroy this assembly. And they're going to do that by getting in different toeholds on each of us. And so we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be putting these things to practice in our life and meditating. Some of the practical things. How are we going to meditate? Let's not just say, I'm going to meditate on the Word of God. Well, how are you going to do it? You know, some of the biblical way that David, he copied the Word of God. He wrote it down. I write it down, you know, little portions or segments or verses on a 3x5 card or a little ring card that I can keep on me and I can look through. You know, some might have more creative ways than that. But we do need to have an actual action plan on how we're going to go out and meditate on the Word of God each day. We've gone over the why we need to do this, for the spiritual blessings, and ultimately so we can hate evil and stay away from evil. And we need to just keep in mind that the spiritual blessings that the Lord can give are far greater than any physical or monetary blessing, and that we need to have a heart and a desire for the spiritual blessings in our life. So that is Psalm 119, 97 through 104. And I hope that this is a blessing and encouragement, and that we can meditate on these things and apply them in our lives. So I'll close with a word of prayer. Amen. Our Father, we come now. We just thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your word and the freedom that we have to study it. Lord, I pray that you'll just help each of us to focus on your word and to make it a priority in our life on a daily basis. And I pray that you help us to be doers of your word. Lord, we pray for our pastor. Please protect him spiritually and protect him physically and bring him back safely for Sunday. And pray that you'll bless the rest of the service. And pray in Christ's name, amen. Right.